the approval of the minutes from the January 10, 2007 meeting. Has everybody looked at those? Senator Pappas moves that we approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We have before us Senator Rest Bill, Senate File 123. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I have a delete everything amendment, and I have two oral amendments to that that I would like to incorporate in the delete all.
Very
which
good.
Would include on line 112, delete 1,000 and insert 800. That's intended to apply to all contributions to any group and or the statewide candidates. And then on page 2, line 33, delete 2 and insert 4. Mr. Sigurdsson from the Campaign Finance Board points out to me that in order to have the date of the report and the affidavit of contributions, to be the same, the reference should be to subdivision 4 instead of 2. Other than that, Mr. Chairman, I would move the delete everything amendment with those two changes incorporated.
Senator Rest moves the A2 amendment with the incorporated changes. Is there further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Senate File 123 makes some changes in the campaign finance law that have been called to our attention by various sources over the past few months. And in particular, the ability of people to make enormous contributions either to a party or to a caucus or to individual candidates after the primary reporting, well, and general election reporting period, the deadline has passed. And with the result that those contributions are not known until the final report, or if they were made during that primary reporting period, not made public until the general reporting time, or if in the general reporting time, not made public until the January 31st filing date for the year. And so what we are proposing here is that that we have a limit. We have one now on legislators. It's 80% of the contribution limit at $400. If you receive a contribution in excess of $400, you have to report it within 48 hours. The change that is proposed is to make, first of all, report for legislators would have to be done within, for everyone, but it will make a change for legislative candidates, that it would have to be reported within 24 hours and would have to either be done electronically or in person, rather than by mail or telegram or mailgram. And that suggestion comes to us from the Campaign Finance Board. The with the exception, of course, if you are unopposed. Also, the board indicates that, and this is a lot of this is disclosure. It was what it is applicable to. That the board says that it has the capacity to then post that those notifications that it receives for the extraordinary contributions on its website. So it becomes. So it's only a period, totally, of 48 hours before all of that information is made available to the public. Secondly, in looking at this section of the law, it occurred to me that we have, for some time now, dealt with two of the constitutional officers in the same way that we have dealt with legislative candidates who, of course, run in a very restricted geographical area, and we've had three levels of contribution limits, one for the governor and lieutenant governor, one for the attorney general, and one for the state auditor and secretary of state. And what this bill proposes is that the secretary of state and the state auditor's contribution limit level be raised to the same level as the attorney general during the election period, which would mean that instead of $500 and $100, which are the current limits, that it be raised to $1,000 and $200. So in an election year, not only would the attorney general be able to accept contributions up to $1,000, but so too would candidates for attorney general, but also candidates for state auditor and state and the secretary of state, and that just to level that playing field. And then everyone other than legislators would be, whether they're a PAC, political committee, a party, a caucus, any candidate running for a statewide office would have to report a contribution, extraordinary contribution, within 24 hours after having received it during the period of time before an election, but after a report had to be filed. It was pointed out to me that that certainly does get disclosure before us, but that there would be a possible loophole, because in another section of the law, and this is in section 1, which is 10A14, subdivision 1, currently new committees, now this would not really be an issue for candidates because they would have already filed for office, but new committees, political committees, have 14 days after they either raise or spend $100 to report their registration. So why couldn't someone have an intention of not file the registration until after the reporting period, the reporting date had arrived, and then escape the extraordinary contribution reporting? So the solution there is if a committee intends to form and receives a contribution as part of that in excess of $800, a single contribution in excess of $800, that they would then have 24 hours not only to make the report of that extraordinary contribution, but also to file their registration papers, so that they would not be able to get around that particular provision. That's what is in sections 1 and 2 and 3. And then another issue that came up in this election, and I'm sure in others, but I only have the data for this election, is the filing of the affidavit of contributions for legislative candidates. We have particularly for legislative candidates, and that's that in this past election, the reporting period that you the date in which you had to file your primary election report in order to qualify for the public, the date of the report was August 21st. The date that you had to file the affidavit of contributions, that deadline was August 31st in order to qualify for the public subsidy. There were 440 candidates in the 2006 election that signed the public subsidy agreement. Of that number, 397 submitted an affidavit of contributions before that deadline. I guess it was actually September 1st. And the pre-primary report was due on August 28th with the cutoff of activity at August 21st. Of the 397 affidavits, 220 of them were filed after August 21st, and 106 were filed after August 28th. 37 of those candidates who made those, who filed those, the affidavits in the reports did not show that they had sufficient contributions on August 21st. Mm-hmm. There has been some general unease about whether that system was encouraging the difference in the reporting dates was encouraging scofflaws. So also in consultation with the Campaign Finance Board, what we propose doing with the affidavit of contributions is making it due, the deadline for filing it, to be the same day as the report is due for the pre-primary election. So you wouldn't be able to file a report, as we understand that one candidate did, that showed the bare minimum of activity of a contribution, scant expenses on August 21st, filed by August 28th, and then filed an affidavit of contribution showing that they had raised $1,500. And it doesn't totally, as Senator Gerlach pointed out to me earlier in a conversation, doesn't totally make the close every single loophole, because you're only reporting what's on your campaign finance report. But it does get us closer to that, where the campaign finance board, in that example, even if it is an extreme one, would nevertheless, because the affidavit was filed, even if someone had only reported that they had raised $100 or $150 and spent nothing, nevertheless, they'd have to send them out to public subsidy. And this will make sure that people, it cuts off, you know, maybe 10 days of fundraising, but it makes sure that if they gives at least the public and their opponents some assurance that they do indeed qualify through their fundraising efforts to be able to receive the public subsidy, rather than the possibility that they get the public subsidy and use the public subsidy to raise money to meet the level that they said they had attained. So, Mr. Chairman, the bill. It would be, effective date would be July 1 of this year, and would apply to contributions that are made on or after that date, and certainly would stand for questions.
Well, thank you, Senator Rast, and I think that the provision that you described as it relates to the affidavit of contribution will not only, I think, accomplish better accountability, but it will probably reduce a lot of chatter that occurs around that time, because I know in many anecdotal cases where candidates are talking among each other that they can't believe that as they check the affidavits online, that as many candidates that had not filed sufficient funds, you know, the week before, that in fact they had all achieved that amount. And so at the very least, I think it tightens this part of the law up real well. Yeah. Is there other discussion? Questions? Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, the language at the bottom of page one and top of page two on increasing the contribution limits for the Secretary of State and State Auditor, what's their spending limit now? Do you know?
I'm going to have to ask Mr. Sigurdsson, okay, too. I don't have the statutes in front of me.
Mr. Sigurdsson, could you introduce yourself for the record?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jeff Sigurdsson. I'm an assistant director of the Campaign Finance Board. Senator Marty, if you were looking at the 2006, the expenditure limit for Secretary of State, the base spending limit was $199,500. That was for both Secretary of State and State Auditor.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Sigurdsson, I know the final reports from last year aren't due for another few days. Do you have any clue whether the candidates, let's say the top two candidates in each of those two races, if they spent at or near the limit?
Mr. Sigurdsson.
I know you may not know this. I just was curious if you think they did or not.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, just based on questions from those committees and their concerns about what is or is not a non-campaign disbursement, I think that they are fairly close to their spending limits, yes. I don't know exactly where they're at.
So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Sigurdsson, in other words, they were asking, is this non-campaign because presumably when candidates get up against the limit, they want to be much more careful to.
I believe that's a fair statement.
The reason I wanted to know that, Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, is I just wondered why the doubling of the contribution limits for them, because I mean, I know their limits are the same as ours, and they have to raise, you know, I think our limit was about 60,000, so theirs would be about three times that much, but they do have 67 times the size of constituency, and I just wondered, because it seems to me that the candidates for that were able to raise that kind of money now, and as we're seeing in gubernatorial races, and I don't know if the attorney general's race ended up skipping the limits this year or not, too, but we're seeing in some of those races where candidates are deciding, oh, let's avoid the limits by taking more contributions, and I like it, the fact that the candidates for auditor and secretary of state are, one, accepting small contributions, and two, running competitive campaigns under the current limit. And we're not upping the limit here. We're just simply saying you're going to make it easier for fewer people to raise the money. I was curious for the rationale.
Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Marty, I guess I approached it a little bit differently in that I couldn't see any rationale for treating quite frankly, I don't see any particular rationale for treating, whatever level it's set at, for treating the any of the constitutional officers different from one another. But I was reluctant to propose that the gubernatorial candidate and the lieutenant governor contribution limit be reduced to $1,000 and then raise the other ones to $1,000. So I kept the three. I kept three levels, but just raised the one to what I thought was, in fairness, a level that indicates that those offices are just as important in terms of being able to, quote, get the word out to the public on a statewide level as the attorney general's race. And I saw it. I came at it from a different angle. I mean, make a good point, but I came at it from a different angle. Also, in terms of the what they're able to spend, as we approach those elections again, I think we need to revisit that with regard to the other part of the affidavit of contributions. Right now, the Secretary of State and State Auditor, I think, not only based on what they can spend, but what they can raise, the levels at which they can raise, their level that they have to report for the affidavit of contributions is $6,000, if you see in that paragraph above, where the candidates for Attorney General are at $15,000. Now, at some point, we may want to be changing those numbers relative to the spending limits. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And if I just draw that to your attention, I don't think I'm not going to make an amendment to that now, but we may want to consider that when we are reviewing that before the next constitutional officer election as well. And obviously, the expenses of campaigning have gone up significantly, and I think most of us have experienced that. And you just can't, you know, statewide candidates just can't go around by word of mouth doing making their case to the public. So I don't think it's unreasonable to. I mean, it sounds doubling, but what it is creating parity between the other two offices and the attorney general. And it doesn't mean that people can start raising that kind of money now, because it's only you can only accept those kinds of contributions during an election year.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, again, the Attorney General's spending limit is a lot higher, and while I would very much support an amendment to reduce the governor's limits to 1,000 and 200, I'd be happy to support an amendment to do that, but I think here that, I mean, in terms of getting the message out, I was impressed that candidates for state auditor and secretary of state, I think they actually had television commercials this year, which I was impressed to see. I think they must have run efficient campaigns, and they were obviously competitive elections. So I guess I think there's a reason we have different spending limits. I think a reason for that, and again, when the candidates are able to raise the money from more people, which they've been able to do, I guess I don't see why we need to do this. I don't know if you're hearing from candidates or potential candidates for these offices who think it's a problem. I think everything else in the bill I think is good. I just wondered why that one was picked out for.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, I explained the way the slice I had on it. That's why.
Is there other further discussion? Senator Gimsey.
In line 1.21, you talk about electronic means within 24 hours. Does electronic means also include fax submittals?
I'm going to ask Mr. Sigurdsson about that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, yes, in our administrative rules, we define a fax as an electronic transmission, so that would be acceptable.
Thank you.
Further questions for the author? Are there, Senator Rest, do you have further comments before I ask for testimony?
No.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on the bill, either in support or in opposition? Mr. Franklin from the Chamber of Commerce is stepping forward here. Mr. Franklin, if you could state your name for the record. And
yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Mike Franklin. I'm the Director of Elections Policy at the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. We support this legislation. Just wanted to let everybody know that we did. We actually amended our campaign finance policy to support something like this back in 2004. We think it's good policy, and increased disclosure is a good thing. Our only concern, not with this language in particular, but with any changes made that requires additional reporting, is that some campaign or some political committees, rather, are allowed to finance their administration with dues dollars. Others are not. That's not a problem with this bill in particular. It is another issue, but this bill does make it sort of modestly worse. But at the end of the day, believe that more disclosure is a good thing, and we support the passage of Senate File 123 as amended. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Franklin. Any questions for Mr. Franklin? Is there anyone else that would like to testify on Senate File 123? Seeing no one else stepping forward, Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, just to get back to the oral amendment on the A2 amendment on page 2, to go along with that change from subdivision 2 to 4 on line 233, I think we should probably change a couple of words on line 2.32, where it says filing the report of. I think we should say reporting. It's the deadline for reporting receipts. As Senator Rest has indicated, the report goes through August 21st, and that's actually filed then on the later date.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to amend the delete all amended amendment as amended to strike the word report and insert the word reporting, or strike the words report of.
Filing the report.
Okay. Filing the
report of
and insert.
Reporting.
Insert reporting. So it would read the deadline for reporting receipts and expenditures.
Does everybody have that?
Mm-hmm. Strike filing the report of and insert reporting.
Is there any discussion? Senator Rest moves that amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Is there any further discussion? Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, I think I will move to delete Section 3, which is the change in the contribution limits for Secretary of State and State Auditor.
Senator Marty moves to delete Section 3 from the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Senator Marty, if you would do that, it would mean that a candidate for auditor or Secretary of State would never reach the extraordinary contribution level because they would only be at the level of $500. So it would need to be a more extensive amendment than just taking that out, I think.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, I don't think it would need that because until last year, local candidates didn't have to report anything less than $500, and they couldn't even accept contributions at large. In other words, the fact that Secretary of State and State Auditor candidates can't report an extraordinary large contribution because they don't accept them is something we've had those kind of rules in statute until very recently, actually. And in other words, it works fine this way right now. It would continue to work fine. They just wouldn't be simple reporting for Secretary of State and State Auditor.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I oppose the amendment.
Thank you. Senator Rest, is there any further discussion about the amendment? I also oppose the amendment. I think that we have, Senator Rest has made, I think, a strong argument for treating the Secretary of State's office and the State Auditor's office and candidates similarly. And so I would hope that that would be the case. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. The motion fails. Is there any further discussion? Is there anyone else that would like to testify on the bill? Seeing no one stepping forward, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, then I would renew my motion that Senate File 123 be, as amended, be passed and sent to the full committee.
Senator Rest moves that Senate File 123 be passed and sent to the full committee as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. And that's the end of our agenda. I call the adjournment, adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.